This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. This is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM. It's Tony D here live in Atlanta on Radio Row. And joining us right now, Ed McCaffrey. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? You're looking good.
Thank you. You're looking fantastic.
You're enjoying all the hoopla, man. It's crazy.
It's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. All right, Ed McCaffrey comes by virtue of Ticketmaster. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, Ticketmaster, they're number one in ticketing in the world. And they're certainly the only official ticketing platform for the NFL. And if you're going to get a ticket, it's the place to go because it's the only place you know you're going to get your seat and your game ticket. You know, it's crazy because Lisa and I, we got a couple of kids now.
Right.
We're old. We got a couple of kids in the NFL. And, you know, you get the home tickets, but they have away games also, right? So if you ever get tickets from a player for an away game, they sit you in the nosebleeds. You're touching the ceiling of the arena, if there is one, like we did in New Orleans where we're touching the dome. And the seats are brutal. So if you try to get better seats, you got to purchase them.
Right.
And so there's times where you've used other exchanges and you're waiting in line in that city and you're praying they have your tickets because there's no guarantee. I mean, they can give you a refund
if you don't
get your seat or ticket. But we're watching our kid play. Like, we want
to
make sure.
Sure, yeah.
So they're the only ticket platform that can guarantee you're going to get your ticket, you're going to get your seat, you're going to see the game that you want. In our case, we're going to get to see our sons play. So we use them all the time, and they've been great.
What is it like to be an NFL player, now NFL parent? To go through that dynamic.
Well, anybody that's a parent, you know, you love your kids, you raise them, you don't know what they're going to do when they're little. Our kids all ended up playing football, which is pretty crazy. I mean, I feel old since all the guys in the league now are my kids' age, and I watched a lot of them grow up. But you just want them to be happy in whatever they're doing. My kids love football. And so I'm happy for them, and we root for them. But it's not that much different in terms of how you feel about your kid as when they're playing Little League or high school or college, if they're lucky enough to play in college. They're your kid. You love them. You root them and support them. You're there for them in the good times and the bad times, the whole deal.
And also, too, we'd always hear stories of people making the adjustment from college to the pros. The money, more of a fame, more of a pressure. Have you had to help talk to your kids about, hey, this is what you should do with your finances. This is what you should do with the fame. This is what you do with expectations. Do you offer that, or do you sort of step back and let them fill that out themselves?
No, you certainly offer it. And, you know, they're living their own lives, and you try to set them up with good people around them. You know, they have great agents and you know, financial planners and you know, lawyers. You got a whole team of people when you get to that level. And I think it does help. You know, my kids grew up around the NFL. They were in the Broncos locker room back in the 90s and early 2000s. And so they hung out with Rod Smith and Shannon Sharp and knew John Elway and everybody. And they grew up in that life. And they've seen teammates of mine go on to have huge success and other teammates struggle at times financially or in other ways off the field. So I think those are life lessons that they were able to learn along the way from being close to the game.
In terms of how you see this Super Bowl, in terms of you see a guy in longevity of a guy like Tom Brady versus a youthfulness of Jared Goff, how do you look at these two teams in this matchup on Sunday?
Well, they're both extremely talented. They're both have good offenses. One is a young, talented quarterback. One has, you know, the guy that's been there half the time over the last 16 years with a coach that's been there as well. And experience may play a factor, but it may not. I mean, they had to win their first Super Bowl back against the Rams back in the day with Belichick and Brady. And so, and there's guys on the Rams that, like, Aqib Talib's been in a Super Bowl. Anderson's been in a Super Bowl. So they got guys that have been there and won and done that. But I think early on, it'll be important for the Rams to get off to a fast start. I think once, similar, although they won't deal with the noise, to the game against New Orleans, you know, it took them a little while to get going offensively. In a Super Bowl, the first quarter is as important as the fourth. And if you get off to a slow start against New England, they can make you pay and kind of dictate the tempo of the game. So I think it's important for the Rams to get off to a good start. But once they kind of settle in, it's just another football game.
Yeah, how quickly does that? Do you notice that? There's a lot of hype, there's a lot of hoopla, but how quickly do you go, wait a minute, this is exactly what I've been going through either my whole career or all season?
Well, there's nothing you can do about the good energy, the good nervouses, they call them butterflies right before the game, the national anthem's playing, you're looking out at the field, there's fireworks, there's smoke, you're looking around thinking, okay, this is it, this is about to happen. But then you snap the ball and it's the same game you've been playing your whole life. And they've had a lot of success over the last couple years, a ton of success this year. They're in the game for a reason. And both teams we'll have a plan, and we'll find out which team can execute that plan the best. There'll be some new stuff in the game maybe they haven't seen, because both these teams are very well coached. And so those split-second decisions, you know, when Tom Brady or when Jared Goff sees a different look that he wasn't expecting, or a different pressure or different coverage, there'll be a few, three, four, five plays in the game. They're going to be critical, and the players that execute and make the right decisions will help their team win, and the other team will lose. Somebody's got to lose, right?
Right, exactly.
So somebody will end up helping to win the game, and unfortunately somebody will be there and wish they could have done better.
Ed McCaffrey joins us, SB Nation AM, live at Super Bowl Row. What did you do? How did you guys prepare? How did you guys prepare for your championship runs?
I was blessed in 1994, played for the San Francisco 49ers. We won Super Bowl 29, beat the Chargers.
Handedly, too.
Played them earlier in the year, so I was a backup. I'm backing up Jerry Rice, right? So
yeah,
it's not like I'm getting in 60 snaps a game. I'm hoping I get in at all. Jerry came out with a shoulder injury for like a couple of plays, so I got a quick catch in there. Steve Young threw me the ball, caught a hitch route. I was excited. I'm thinking I'm going to Disney World, and then he came back. But we had played the Chargers earlier in the year, and we beat them pretty good, and we felt confident. Heck, we had Steve Young, the Offensive Player of the Year, Deion Sanders, the Defensive Player of the Year, Jerry Rice. So right on down the line, we had a really talented roster. I mean, just on defense, we had Richard Dent and Charles Mann and Ricky Jackson alternating,
absolutely.
They're, you know, role players, which was just crazy. It was such a talented team. It was so fun. So, I wasn't a starter, but I was still nervous and was excited because I got in on special teams and as a backup at receiver. But that team had a lot of confidence. And, you know, after the initial, for me at least personally, after the initial series or two, because those guys had been in some Super Bowls
before. Sure.
It wasn't new to them.
Right.
It was new to me and some of my teammates. And after the first couple of plays, it's football. It was actually quieter than the championship game against the Cowboys. So in many ways, it's different in that those championship games are so loud. And you got the home crowd advantage if you're playing at home. If not, you got to face the noise. And then it settles down a little bit in the Super Bowl. It's a little quieter, a little more corporate than what you get at the championship game. So that was a little odd. And then timing-wise, the halftimes are longer. It seems like it's a really long football game. So simple things like you got to hydrate properly, and you might have to eat and consume some calories during the game because it's such a long game.
We always talk about pressure, right? Pressure on cities, pressure on teams, pressure on players. Did you feel Steve Young was under pressure to get a championship? He had been criticized. He was the guy that followed the guy and needed to win a championship, but did he show that at all in practice leading up to that game?
Well, you know, he can be a little neurotic because he's such a competitor,
right?
But he was more just so excited to get onto the field. He couldn't wait.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
The whole team wanted to go out and play, but he couldn't wait to get onto the field and compete. He has so much energy. I don't know how much you've been around him, but in the locker room and even off the field, he's always moving around and pacing, and he's a very excitable guy. And he loved football. He couldn't wait to get out there and play that game. What, did he throw six touchdowns?
Yeah, right.
He tore it up, and he probably wishes it could have lasted longer. But to watch the expression on his face and as he, you know, teared up and he's raising the Lombardi Trophy over his head was just magical. And then I was blessed to be able to do it with John Elway.
John Elway.
Super Bowl 32.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one's for John. And him hoisting the Lombardi Trophy over there. I was there, you know, in the victory formation right behind John. And I had a hurt knee. I wanted to pick him up and lift him up over my head. But I saw the expression on his face, and it was sheer joy and just relief.
Right.
I mean, he's tearing up while he's smiling and just so excited as he took a knee, and it seemed like it took an eternity for that last second to tick off the clock. But I got to be part of an organization's first Super Bowl. I mean, how cool was that? And we were loaded with talent too. And then we all had to talk John into coming back. Took forever to talk him into coming back. Then we win again in Super Bowl 33. So what a Cinderella story for John Elway.
It's unfair, I get it, for a guy like John Elway to have the numbers and the ability and the wins and the Super Bowl appearances that we judge based on you got to get a title. And it was, but to get for him to get one, there were many of us who thought we're not going to see it. He's like mid-30s, right? How many mid-30 guys? How many chances are you going to have?
People had written them off. Hard to believe that John Elway would be an underdog.
Absolutely.
At any point.
Absolutely.
But they had lost a couple of Super Bowls, so the expectations were low. We felt like we had the best team in the NFL the year before. We got upset by Jacksonville at home. Green Bay went on to win that Super Bowl against New England and New Orleans. But we felt we should have been in that game. And so we got kind of counted out despite a lot of the same players.
You guys were a road team that first year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we had to go on the road and, man, play Kansas City and Pittsburgh and had a lot of difficult games, beat some good teams along the way, and then we're 14-point underdogs.
Yeah,
in Super Bowl 32, which was a little insulting.
Sure.
And we had guys like Shannon Sharp biting his tongue and not talking for 2 weeks. That was probably his biggest accomplishment in the NFL. But we believed in ourselves and we had confidence. We were hungry and we had a little chip on our shoulder since the year before. But thank goodness we could keep enough guys together, especially John, from retiring for another year.
Yeah.
It was really a magical couple of years in Denver.
Broncos are one of those rare programs. They don't, in the NFL, they don't have losing seasons very long. I think this is back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since the early 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like they go a long period of time without winning. Currently, right now, struggling. But do you like Vic Fangio? Do you like the Rick Scangarello? Do you like what they're doing to get this team and have kind of a new voice?
I do. Broncos fans are the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
And they're very critical, and they expect success. They're used to it, right?
All the
They've
time.
Been spoiled. They just won Super Bowl 50 a few years ago, right?
Right?
So, and they were in 48 before that, and they had Peyton Manning, which helped. But they believe in the organization. They believe in John Elway, and they believe that they're going to get it right. They made a great coaching hire. I think did a great job of filling in with their assistants. They still have a lot of talent on that team, but they have room to improve, and they know it. They're honest about their position, about their roster, and about what they need to do to win. But they played a couple of teams close this year, and I expect them to do well next year.
Ed McCaffrey joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, brought to you by Ticketmaster. Best of luck to you, Ed. Always good talking to you, and best of luck to your kids in the NFL, man. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Good to see you again.
Appreciate it. Ed McCaffrey here on Radio Row here in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53 on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. I get emails every week asking why SUVs are outselling cars. Well, it's really about utility. SUVs are great people movers, they're easier to get in and out of, and they ride a little higher up. Of course, SUVs will go places that sedans can't, and they'll do it loaded with people and gear. Now, what new SUVs get great fuel economy, run great, and are comfortable on the highway. And just because it's an SUV doesn't mean it has to be a big one. Compact SUVs have become big sellers, too. But, folks, if you really love sedans, and this SUV craze means that there are great deals on the cars that you want. Car companies have thousands of unsold cars. They're still great cars, but since they're slow sellers, prices are slashed. And the prices on discontinued cars are really crazy. You could say that sedan buyers are in the driver's seat when it comes to car deals right now. This is Mike Hersey, and Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features, if it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.